Robert, could you put the first slide of that last song up, You're a Good, Good Father? Would you pop that slide on the screen? You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Jesus came, and one of his great roles, one of his deepest desires, as he was moving towards the cross, was to introduce the people around him to the good, good Father, his Father in heaven, our Father in heaven. And throughout the scriptures, we have the story of this good, good Father. And that's who he is. And we are loved by him. But as Jesus looked out onto the world of his time, so many people missed those two elements. God was the great big rule maker. Here's the deal, follow the rule, or else you're out. You know, the taskmaster father. You know, shape up or ship out. Boom, boom, boom. And sadly, they also never understood that he loved them. Maybe they thought they had to earn his love. Maybe they thought they were unlovable because of things they had done. And so much of Jesus' speaking ministry and miraculous demonstration ministry was about trying to make this introduction. We're going to read a passage that sounds very strong, and it is. And the bottom line is, the word of the passage is, make every effort. But that has to be understood in that umbrella of who God is and the love God has for us. So I didn't plan for Ange to sing that song, but as we were singing it, I thought, the Holy Spirit's at work, because he's setting the groundwork for this word to be planted. So it's a strong word. Jesus doesn't mince words, but that's the context. Listen, as we read from Luke 13, it says, then Jesus went through the towns and villages teaching as he made his way towards Jerusalem. So his eyes are on the cross. He knows what's coming. He is giving his final words to people as he marches to Jerusalem to that great moment when he's going to pay for us. And someone along the way asked him, Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? Just think for a moment about that question. Jews, and these are all Jews, believe they had an in. We're Abraham's child, you know, we got it. Why would you ask a question like that? Questions have a way of shaping the conversation. If Jesus said, no, everyone's going to be saved, what's the guy going to do? I mean, what would I do? Great. Thanks, man. I'm going to go sit down. You know, I'm going to take a seat. I'm going to enjoy life. I'm not going to give a lot of hoots about this because, hey, you know, I got an easy in. You walk into a class and the professor says, don't worry, everyone gets an A. How many people are going to work in that class? When you got two papers due, which one are you going to do? The professor who's already said, you got an A, don't worry. Jesus couldn't possibly answer that question. And it's not truthful for him to say, only a few. So what does he do? He just burrows in at the heart of the question the person was really asking. Because really he's saying, how hard do I have to work? You know? So look at Jesus' response. He said to them, make every effort to enter through the narrow door. Because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, sir, open the door for us. But he will answer, I don't know you or where you come from. And then you'll say, we ate, we drank with you. You taught in our streets. But he'll reply, I don't know you or where you came from. Away from me, you evildoers. And there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God. But you yourselves are thrown out. People will come from east and west and north and south, and they will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. See, it's going to be a pretty big feast. And indeed, there are those who are last who will be first, and the first who will be last. What does Jesus say to the crowd? He says, make every effort. The Greek word is to agonize. Agonazo, agonize. Work hard, strive, press into it. It suggests that person that puts a special effort towards reaching a particular goal. It's used in 1 Corinthians of an athlete. It says, everyone who competes in the game goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last. It's that strict training. If you like athletics, think about what it takes to become a world-class athlete. I don't care what sport it is. The people who come to the pinnacle dedicate their lives to that. And certainly as they're moving towards a major competition, they will monitor everything from their sleep habits to their eating habits. You know, as the world grows and the science of physiology grows, they take advantage of every possible means to make sure that their body is in the peak readiness for that competition. That's the language Jesus is using. And you could apply that to professionals in any realm. I had a conversation yesterday with a friend about ballet dancers. Unbelievable training that those women and men go through. Jesus says, make every effort. Strive. Now I brought up the context about the good, good Father. His desire for us and our striving was not that we set up a whole bunch of rules and then take them as strict training. Yes, God gave us the Ten Commandments, and they are great safety markers on the side of the roads. They're the guardrails of life that say, hey, you know, when you cross those, you get into a lot of trouble. When I start lying, I get into a lot of trouble. If I start coveting and having adulterous affairs, I get into a lot of trouble. But the real bedrock here that Jesus is saying is not set up all the rules. It's press into God. Make every effort. Do what you can to get to know the Father. Because what you're going to find out is He's a good, good Father. You know, the best earthly fathers and mothers, they put rules around their kids, not because they want to be a pain in the you-know-what, but because they know what's good for you. When we lived in New Jersey, we moved from rural western Pennsylvania. We had about 5 acres of land, and a road went by. And although people drove pretty fast on the road, you could probably have counted the number of cars that drove by in a day. When we got to New Jersey, we had a little postage stamp of a yard and a curb and a street where cars all the time. We took our daughter, I remember doing this, I took my daughter out to that curb and I said, do not go past that line. You know? There is an absolute line here. It's because I didn't want my daughter to explore? Are you kidding me? Ask my wife about the things I let her explore. No. It's because I knew in that house, to step off that curb could mean her life. I was actually preserving her, not trying to box her in. Because He's a good, good Father. And He loves us. And we are loved by Him. And so what Jesus is saying is press into the Father. Do everything you can. Make every effort. Agonize in your work to get closer to the Father. My devotionals this morning, I read through scriptures and I read a chapter a morning. And it happened on 2 Kings chapter 2. So David is about to die. And he has called Solomon in for his last words to his son before he dies. And I think it's 2 slides from now. In 2 Kings 2 and 3, he says to his son, I am about to go the way of all the earth. Be strong. Act like a man. And observe what the Lord your God requires. Walk in obedience to Him and keep His decrees and His commands, His laws, His regulations as written in the law of Moses. Do this so that you may prosper in all you do and wherever you go. And I was struck by that. Be strong. Act like a man. I'm going to tell you guys, that's coming up on a Father's Day sermon. Really. Act like a man. Take the physical strength that God put in your human body. Take the fact that God washed your brain in, what was it, cortisol or whatever at birth, and He cut off a whole bunch of your neurons so our minds don't work and we can compartmentalize. Now that's a negative at times. But it's a positive because we can burrow down on something and really work hard at it and give ourselves to it. That's what God says. He says to the guys, be a man. Put every effort into it. And what are we supposed to be a man about? About walking in obedience with God. That'll take huge effort. When you hop on that train in the morning and you go into the city, you are going into a hostile world. And to be a man or a woman of faith in that environment will take effort. Because it's going to be very easy just to become a different person in that environment. Agonize. College students are starting to come back now. You go to college and man, the doors are open wide. You'll have to agonize. Make every effort, strive to hold on to your faith When everyone else around you in the college environment is saying, hey, try this, try that, try the next thing. And we could just go down the list. Make every effort. Make every effort to go through the narrow door. Not every route leads to the Father. God has set the route. And there's one way. And it's through faith in Jesus. Some people don't like restrictive access. You come to the church Monday through Friday, there is one door unlocked. And guess what? We have a video camera watching who comes in and out of that door. Restrictive access. You want to go to the White House? You want to go see the Capitol building? I guarantee you are not allowed in the back doors. There's restricted access. In many of the finer hotels and places in New York City, residences, there'll be a doorman with restricted access. We all like it when we live in those buildings. And God says there's one way to the Father's love, and that's through Jesus. And then the last thing he says in that sentence is you can go back to the slide I had, make every effort to go through the narrow door because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door. We don't know when God will close the door. The most likely way that happens for us as human beings is when we die. We have a chance to meet Jesus until death comes, Hebrews tells us. And after death, we face God. I don't know when that will be. I don't know where that will be for my life. You don't know when that will be for your life. We can play the statistics game if you want. But who knows? Are you willing to gamble eternity on a statistical risk? But what about an accident that renders a person unconscious? What about an older person if some form of dementia begins to creep in and you lose the ability to make decisions? Make every effort before the door closes. Make every effort to press into Jesus, to press into the Father, to get to know the one who loves you so much. So much, in fact, that Jesus came, yes, to teach us about this, but even more importantly, Jesus came so that on that Good Friday, he could be nailed to a cross. Because in the crazy plan of God, and I mean it's crazy, who would think this up? The perfect Son of God, Jesus, gives his life for your life, for my life, for anyone and everyone who calls on his name. And he says, I'll take all your sin and all the guilt you have earned to this day and will earn through the rest of your earthly life until you go home to be with the Father, I'll take all of that on my shoulders. And instead, I'll give you my clothing, the clothing of a son of God, the clothing of a daughter of God. That's the narrow way. And Jesus is begging the people before him to make every effort to press in to the Father's love, to Jesus' love, before it's too late for them. And I merely repeat what Jesus said. Folks, make every effort. Give your energy to the one who loves you. To the one who delights in being with you. Who will never say, hey, no, I don't got any time today. Sorry. It's an invitation. It's an invitation for all of us. If you are a person of Christian faith and you have made that conscious decision to Jesus, it's a chance for you and me to say, okay, am I giving it my all, or have I begun playing it safe, begun just doing the minimum because there's too much other stuff I want to do? And for people, any of you who've been kind of hanging around fringes of the faith, Jesus says, come on in. Come all the way in. Dive into the pool. If you can't swim, I'll hold you up. Don't worry. But take that step. Because I want to introduce you to the good, good Father. And I want you to know how much you are loved by Him. Because you can't figure that out if you're not in the pool. Let's pray. Jesus, thanks for not mincing words. Sometimes you are polite, and other times you are just straight on direct. And today's a direct word, Lord, and I thank you for that. I need it. We all need it. And I pray, Lord, that in these next couple moments of silence before the offertory and offering begins, I pray you would speak to us. And those of us who need to be challenged, speak that word. And those of us who need an invitation, speak that word. Because my prayer is that everyone in this room, everyone who hears this message, will say yes to the good, good Father and give getting to know Him their all. Through Jesus, I pray. Amen.